I mentioned that I'm in the, I wanted you to turn to the book of Revelation. This morning, actually about 2 hours ago, the Lord put on my heart something different. We've been going through the book of John and working our way through that verse by verse, line by line. We made it up to John chapter 6, verse 32, and had a great message prepared. And the Lord had a different thing for us this morning. So a little curveball. This morning, the Bible says, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken. It doesn't say that in the Bible. That was a test to see if you're Bereans or not. But actually, Chuck Smith used to say that. But I just felt, I'm sure like a lot of you, very heavy-hearted with the things that transpired on Wednesday in... If you don't know, Charlie Kirk was assassinated. He was assassinated publicly and traumatically in front of the world. And before that, it was very popular on social media to also see a young lady that was a refugee from the Ukraine, slaughtered, murdered in broad daylight. And, you know, those things are very heavy things. But I wanted to speak this morning kind of off the cuff, if you will, even though I don't have cuffs this morning. But I do think it's important that we take an opportunity to really put in perspective the things that are going on in our world and how it relates to the Bible. And we always have to frame our understanding of things from the Bible. And that's a big reason why we're seeing so many things in the world that are confusing. Who is the author of confusion? Satan's the author of confusion. What is the one thing that we have that brings forth truth and understanding and light that God has given us in order to relate properly to God in the world? It's His Word. And that's why, in many cases, the church is very sick in America, because it is departed from the Word in many cases. That's why many churches have embraced ideologies that are more of the world and not of God. That's why a somewhat recent study polled Christians in regards to their biblical worldview, finding out that less than 10%, single digits, about 6% of people that say they're Christian actually have a biblical worldview. And so darkness has crept into all aspects of society and culture. And it's done that through lies. Satan is a liar. That's how he works. That's his mode of operandi, his MO. He works through lies to deceive people and to get people to be confused about things. And he appeals to people's feelings and emotions to such an extent where feelings and emotions are put as a priority ahead of the truth and the Word of God. And so Revelation chapter 11, if you're there, and something the Bible teaches, and this is why we as a church, at minimum once a year, we look at certain things that are going on in the world and relate them to what the Bible says about the end times. We do a prophecy update. And a lot of that just leaks out into the teaching. But we don't make that, you know, just the priority. We're not a ministry, a prophetic ministry. We're a Bible teaching ministry. But the Bible is dominated by prophecy. And so we speak prophecy when prophecy is relevant, and we see something very, very, very profound in the book of Revelation chapter 11, which the context is in the tribulation. So if you're not quite familiar with how the Bible lays out the end times, or in other words, the Bible's thrust is Jesus coming back to earth. We call that the second coming. So he came first to save. He's going to come again to rule on earth. So the Bible speaks it, and it lays out this plan. This plan, which from where we sit now on the prophetical map, we look at a time where the Bible talks about taking out the church in the event called the rapture. After the rapture of the church, then the seven-year tribulation period begins on the earth with the church in heaven and God pouring out his wrath on the earth. And that's how God takes back control of the earth, to where at the end of the seven-year period, Jesus comes back with the church to rule and reign on the earth for 1,000 years. And at that time, Satan will be bound. So it will be paradise. It will be everything that we want. It will be a place where we can pet lions and have, you know, fun with gorillas and elephants. And there'll be no destruction, no tears, no sin. Satan will be bound, and there'll just be a flourishing of God's creation, a flourishing of people, a joy unspeakable. And that's a millennial kingdom, which culminates at the end of 1,000 years with the Lord letting out the bound Satan, the imprisoned Satan and the demons. They get out so that those who are in the millennial kingdom, who never had an opportunity to choose for or against Christ, they will have that opportunity at the end of the millennial kingdom. And at that time, their choice will either send them to hell eternally or to eternal life with Jesus Christ. And it, after that is then the new heaven and the new earth. So that's how it's all laid out. But as we sit here, the next prophetical event is the rapture of the church. But most of the prophecy that we find in the Bible is about the second coming. So here's what's interesting. The prophecy we see about the second coming, when that's happening now, it's good to assume that Jesus is going to come back for the church soon. We don't know the day or the hour, but we can look at the things going on in the world and we can say, those are things that are going to be happening in the tribulation. It seems like they're happening now. So maybe, probably, it looks like Jesus is going to take us out of here very soon. So there's signs in the Bible. Like in Matthew 24, as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And many other signs. So we get this picture that the world and humanity will be going towards chaos, not going towards improvement. And so check out something that's going to happen in the tribulation. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 7, it says, when they finish their testimony, who's they? The two witnesses. There's going to be two witnesses that are being spoken of here. There may be most scholars, including myself, who's not a scholar, think it's Moses and Elijah. And these two witnesses are going to be preaching the gospel. And the crazy thing is, for those who have followed prophecy for a while or been interested in prophecy, there's so many things in regards to Bible prophecy that was difficult to kind of see how it's going to work out. You know, like this. Like these two witnesses are going to be killed. And they're going to be killed in front of everybody. And there was a time, not to date myself, but where it'd be kind of hard to see how everybody in the whole world can see something happen in real time. But we knew the Bible talked about that. And so it's kind of interesting to see Well, how's that going to happen? How's everybody going to see something all at the same time and live and in real time? How's that going to happen? We're at those times. The time is now. So these two witnesses, it says in verse 7, when they finished their testimony, that's key. Because what were they doing? They were preaching the truth. They were preaching the gospel. They were preaching the gospel in a hostile world. And so when they finished their testimony, it says, the beast that ascends or comes out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. So who's that? That's demons. That's demonic activity. That's spiritual warfare. That's Satan and his working in the world through these entities, these evil spirits. That's what we see going on. And their intention is to make war against all those who speak the truth and to overcome them and to kill them. That's what they want to do. The Bible says Satan is a murderer. He's a liar. He's a destroyer. That's what he wants to do. That's what he is doing. That's what he's working in the world. And the church is called the restrainer in the Bible, meaning the church holds back this evil. This is what we saw on Wednesday. We saw someone who is known for truth, that he debates other people and welcomes other people to debate truths and understanding. And I believe he was so good at that that there was no wiggle room because of his skill in debating the truth, that it was like he had put people in a corner with the truth to where one could either, like a rat that's backed up into the corner is going to get to a point where it's going to strike back, or one is going to see the truth, their eyes are going to be open, and submit to the truth. That's something, the truth, that is hated in our world. The truth is hated. Why? In particular, because it is the truth that sets people free. The truth is what set people free. And it dawned on me, and I wrote a little article for our church because I wanted to share my thoughts about that. We sent that out. If you didn't get that, let me know. Hopefully you're on our text list where we send all that type of thing out. But I'm going to talk a lot about that this morning. But it's interesting because Charlie Kirk had been set free by the truth in his heart. The most important place that is that our soul is set free, that we're not bound to sin and the things of the world, but we're truly set free. And he was, and he proclaimed that. But then I find it interesting that when he is killed, he is fully set free from his body, from the last piece of bondage that he had, that we all have these bodies that we have to be free from in order to be truly free. So he was set free into the arms of Jesus immediately. And it is because the truth set him free. The truth set him free in his heart, and the truth set him free physically. As he was teaching the truth, somebody didn't like the truth and hated that. And for that, they killed him. These martyrs that we see in Revelation 11, ultimately, they gave their life for this testimony. In verse 8, if you'll notice, it says, their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Another indication of the power of the truth. The truth is the most powerful force in the world. And the truth that Jesus proclaimed of who he was is why they killed him. And as we go through the Gospels, we realize the anger of people simply because he told people who he was. And that anger boiled to the place of murdering him. And so, in the same way, those who proclaim the truth and have convictions about the truth that are rooted in something other than self, a truth that is rooted in something higher than self, something proven, something none other than God himself, because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And that's the truth that the world hates. And Jesus was killed, his disciples were killed, the church fathers were killed, and from that point it has been the blood of the martyrs that have been the seed of the church. So this infuriation of hatred and evil only serves to grow the church. I believe that's what's going to happen now. Get this, in verse 9. Then those from the peoples, tribes, and tongues and nations, that means the whole world, they will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. In other words, it's gonna be the world celebrating what's happening. It's going to be the world, they're like trophies. These two witnesses who are proclaiming the gospel in the tribulation are going to be killed, and then they're going to be trophies. They don't want to move the bodies because everybody wants to continually say, look, they were wrong. Look what the truth does. Look where the truth will get you. You better not speak the truth because look what's going to happen. And so that's a well-known tactic of many military regimes and terrorist organizations is to desecrate the body as a way to cause people to fear and to say, look, that's what's going to happen to you. So you better shut up. You better zip it. You better not rock the boat. Everything will be fine if you don't say anything. Just don't say anything and everything will be fine. That's what the world wants. Now look at verse 10. It says, and those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them. They will make merry and send gifts to one another because the two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. What that means is they're going to celebrate those of the world. This is in the tribulation, but think about what's going on now. They're going to celebrate. And the reason they're going to celebrate is because they're thinking the message of these men, it tormented us. Why? Because it was the truth. That's what the truth does. The truth puts a mirror up to ourselves, and we may not like it. It shows us that we are sinners in need of salvation. And that right there will make people hate you. I bet a lot of you have experienced that with friends and family, especially those who have bought into the worldly ideologies, which have become very popular, especially with young people over maybe the last 10 years. Many people have been taken captive to do the will of the enemy. 2 Timothy 2, I think it's 24, says that. Many people that you know seem like they've become sort of radicalized. And all of a sudden, you feel a hatred towards you because simply because of your faith in Jesus Christ, you feel that they actually hate you. This is what will happen. This is what we see happening. And this truth that sets people free, it will torment people, but it also saves people. That's how powerful it is. And so Satan's not going to just let people preach and teach the truth without any difficulty. He's going to target and come after people who are willing to speak the truth. Now, we're going to go to a few scriptures here, and feel free to turn if you're a good fast turner. But if you want my notes, this is, like I said, off the cuff. This is just some scriptures that I want to look at that I think are pertinent. But I'd be happy to send you my notes. They're not really notes, but they're just the scriptures that we have. But we're going to go to John 16, verse 1. John 16, 1. Which says, this is Jesus, "These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble." So Jesus is about to say something that we need to know. And this is, I think, what happens with a lot of Christians is they're not grounded in the Word. So they're unable to cope with or handle the reality of living in this world and the hatred of the world towards them. So they're tempted to compromise the Word of God and become a version of a Christian which is not biblical. Basically, it's a worldly Christian. And that's why Jesus is saying, look, here's the reality. I don't want you to stumble. You have to know this. So he says in verse 2, "They will put you out of the synagogues." Yes. "The time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God a service." So here's what we see going on now. We see lies shoved down our throats through media, through social media, through entertainment, through corporate America, through every avenue available. And the truth, what has happened over the years in the not so distant past, in America, it used to be where people were okay with other people having different ideas and religions and philosophies and thoughts. That would be okay. But what has happened recently is there are certain things that have aggressively been thrown down our throats in order to make people believe them. And so that's why you see in our education, especially higher education, which should be a place of dialogue and critical thinking and working out truth and debate and all that, that's where the one place you don't see that. Where if you have a different opinion, there's this is all over the place, but recently it came out that a young lady at Texas A&M in a class, and Texas has a law where you can't, in the higher institutions that are funded by Texas, you cannot teach transgender ideology in these classes. And that was happening, and this young lady recorded it and challenged the teacher, and the teacher told her basically to be quiet and don't talk about this. And she told the young lady that she was wrong about the law and used sort of what happens a lot in higher education. It's a lot of I'm higher than you. You don't know what you're talking about, and intimidation. So you have professors, which professors are fantastic. I'm married to one, but better be careful here. But they use their position of authority to indoctrinate young people. And it's really ridiculous. You know why? Because those professors, first of all, they're educated in those certain subjects, and then they teach it every semester, years after years. And then they get a 18-year-old, 19-year-old, 20-year-old kid that has just come out of high school into these classes, and they make them feel stupid, and they intimidate them, and they tell them, you are just so stupid if you don't believe like we believe. And so they intimidate. It's because they don't want the truth. But anyway, what happened is this young lady recorded this interaction, and she told the instructor that she has a meeting set up with the dean the next day, and she's going to talk to the dean about it. And Texas A&M tried to brush it under the rug to the extent to where they told her, you're out of the class. We'll give you the grade that you have now. You don't have to finish the class. You just need to get out of the class. And she kept on with it to the point where it became very public knowledge. And from what I think is happening, I heard that Texas A&M is being sued, but the professor got fired because she was doing something illegal. But the point is, what has shifted, especially in America, is to the point where it's not okay to have a different opinion. What has happened is you have to believe like we believe, and you have to accept it and affirm it. And if you don't, you are going to be in trouble. We're going to come after you. We're going to get you. And what Charlie Kirk did is he pushed back against that very thing and began to successfully, and that's a big reason why he was killed, because he was successful in the truth, to the point where the only answer is we have to get rid of him. Instead of looking at the truth, and his whole thing was, let's talk about it. And there are things where I wish he would have carried himself a little more gently and kinder and things like that. But the point is, it all comes back to what's the truth. And here's the thing. You can tell anybody who does not believe in God, and maybe you're here today, if you really want to know God, just start searching for the truth and you'll find Jesus. Many people never come to Jesus because they have believed the lies emotionally. And their emotions sort of short-circuit logic and truth. And when one emotions are very powerful. And then when you start saying Marxist, communistic ideologies, using phrases, you know, the oppressor and the oppressed, and framing things like that, what you're doing is you're inciting anger. And our country, sadly, is built on so many lies now. Because of this aggressive way that the lies are being pushed on people, to where you have to bow down to the lie. Lies like the world has evolved and God did not create it. That's a very basic, fundamental truth that we find in the very beginning of the Bible. God, what? Created heaven and earth. So that lie there that God didn't create everything, but everything came out of nothing. Let me ask you, does that make sense? Is that scientific? That something came out of nothing. It's ridiculous, isn't it? To just go down a road of, like, you have to debate that. Like, you're really going to stand on the premise that everything that we see came from nothing, and including people. The people came from nothing. So what does that do? It tells an individual that nothing really matters. That there's no value in a human being, which is another lie. Another lie that tells us that God created every human being in His image. And there's no distinction. We're all humans as we get past our skin. And the narrative that we often have is one that separates people into race or categories, when God says that He created everybody in His image, that we're all created evil. It's a lie that a baby in the womb is not a human being. So what if you start telling people that? What if you tell people that you came from nothing, which pretty much you are nothing? Nothing means anything, so you might as well do whatever you want. And not only do whatever you want, then do what you want, and if someone gets in the way of doing what you want, then you push them over to make sure you get what you want. What does that sound like? Survival of the fittest, the philosophy of, or the theory of evolution. That we have evolved through different people, have evolved, survival of the fittest, and then now it pits people in all these categories. But then it's easy to say, well, that baby, which we know the Bible says that God knits us together from the womb. So what lie is that? That that baby is not a human being. And if that baby gets in the way of what you want to do in life, just kill it. That's what we've become. Where that's normalized and legalized. Just kill it. Go on with your life. And some of you in here, no doubt, have probably done that. And you would know, if anybody would, that you just don't do that and then forget about it. Because you know instinctually, as a woman, that that's a baby. And you can't just have no effect from killing that baby. But you also need to know that God forgives you. That's the great story of His grace, that He forgives you. But make no mistake about it, that's murder. And that's a lie that our country has actually legalized. It's a lie to say homosexuality is not a sin. That's a lie. It's a lie to say that a man can be a woman and a woman could be a man. That's a lie. It's a lie to say that one can get to heaven by being a good person. That's a lie. It's a lie to say that all religions are basically the same. The Bible teaches us that there's no truth in any faith that doesn't acknowledge and recognize that Jesus, God incarnate, who came into this world to die for our sins and rose again from the dead, and anything that deviates that is a lie from that. Mormonism is a lie. Islam is a lie. Jehovah's Witness is a lie. Eastern religions lie. Voodoo, lie. It's a lie. It's dark. And we want to paint those things as something that, well, it's just the way another person sees it. There's no greater sin There's no greater sin than to reject Jesus' death for you on the cross and say, I can go another way. There's no greater lie than that. The Bible says you are trampling God under your feet. In other words, it's you're spitting on him. You're saying his work on the cross was worthless or not worth you giving your time and energy. It's all lies. These lies are what we see our society being built on today, and they run rampant and people feed on them. The other day it struck me, I was actually going on a walk, and I was talking to, I have to say, one of my best friends from California. We were talking, and we were talking about just social media and scrolling and going through that and all the filth that you come across. And, you know, there's algorithms based on your age. Somehow it knows you. And I'm not going to talk too much about some of the ads we get, but it struck me that it's called our feed. What are we feeding on? We're just feeding on the lies. And we're feeding on temptation. And I thought, wow, it's called the feed. Wow. And the Bible tells us, and I was studying, probably what I was thinking, the message for today was about Jesus being the bread of life and how we're to feed on him. And I just thought, what are we feeding on? No wonder we're in this condition, and it is. There's no doubt that social media has fueled the fire of sin and evil because it dehumanizes people. So you should never say on social media what you don't normally say to people when you talk with them. Don't be someone on social media that you're not in person. But social media is another way that people get dehumanized. They feel comfortable because they're not with a person that they can say vile things about them and comment. If you ever really want to experience that, go to Flower Mound Cares on Facebook. You'll see what I mean. Oh, Flower Mound. Better just stay off it. This truth, then, is what God has called us to receive, to be set free, and to walk according to. That's why there's so much challenge. That's why there's so much hostility. That's why there is so much difficulty, is because the world hates you. The world hates you. In John chapter 15, verse 18, it says, I'll give you a second to see how fast you guys are. John 15, 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. That's what Jesus is saying. Almost as if, what do you expect? Do you understand the faith that we have? What do? Every Easter, every Good Friday, what do we have in our Bibles? We don't read through our Bibles of people that they came to faith, and because they came to faith, they became very popular in the world. You know what? You laugh, but you know what? That's how many pastors carry themselves. The more popular I can be in the world, that's what real success is. It seems insane, but you know what? Congregations are the ones that feed that. because we see these pastors are in these positions because people like it like that. They want to have a pastor where they can tell people, go to his Instagram and he has 20 million followers, so he must be legit. The message I was going to do today, and John chapter 6, if you read through the whole chapter, it's all about false disciples. It's all about the crowd that followed Jesus for the signs that he did. And then when Jesus began to teach truth in John, here's an easy way to remember, 666. It says that the masses of people that were following him because he multiplied the loaves and the fishes and they wanted to eat more, they all left him. What that tells us is there are many false Christians. These false Christians prop up false teachers and pastors and preachers and book writers and put them on a pedestal, and they recruit people not to Jesus Christ, but to the person. And these particular pastors become cash cows for the church. In other words, you take the pastor out and the church will not survive, because the church runs on the personality of the pastor. And in many cases, the pastor cannot teach the word of God because they're afraid people will leave or won't give them money anymore. And so the truth is not what is supreme. Popularity is what is supreme, and that is a lie. That is evil. It's a lie that the Bible is full of contradictions. It's a lie that truth is relative and depends on what the individual thinks or individual feelings. That's a lie. There is absolute truth. There's one truth, and that truth is found in one person, Jesus Christ. And in the Holy Bible, which God has given to us, that is the truth. That is what we measure all of our understanding of life by. All philosophies, all theologies, all opinions, all podcasters, whatever, we measure everything by the Word of God. This is where the church has gone wrong in many cases. Buying the world and the world's model for success, which says bigger, more, whatever, it measures success not by faithfulness, but by followers. Jesus had many followers leave him. You know why? Because of the truth. In John 6, when these followers left him, their hearts were not sincere. They just wanted what they can get out of him, not him himself. And they left. And Jesus looks at Peter and he says, "How about you, Peter? You want to leave too?" You remember what Peter said? "No, Lord. Where am I going to go? You have the words of eternal life." In other words, you have the truth. Peter found the truth. Peter died because of the truth. But the truth was so important that he was willing to give his life. The truth is the hill to die on. The truth is that. The truth that we find in God's word. So we see there are definite repercussions, the Bible tells us, about the truth. Jesus in Matthew 5. Feel free to turn there if you're fast. Matthew 5:10. Matthew 5:10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You see that? It's not just random being persecuted. It's for righteousness' sake. Charlie Kirk is blessed. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that interesting? Charlie Kirk realized that. Verse 11, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. So specifically because of your standing and proclaiming the truth without compromise. Verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So why did the prophets die? The truth. Go with me to John 3, verse 19. This is the condemnation. That light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So you think about these killings like this, and you think about the transgender ideology and how Satan's the author of confusion. That's confusion. A person like that needs help. They don't need to be encouraged in that. They need help. This confusion, when Satan gets a hold of a person and that person is out of touch with reality, they do things like this. It's crazy now that our church has to have church security. That's a whole ministry now. That schools have to have security. That it just, it's crazy. But that's the world we live in. People love darkness rather than light. Verse 20 says, for everyone practicing evil, see what it says? Hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds be exposed. That's what the truth does. It exposes. If you're a Christian here today, at some point you were exposed to the reality that you were a sinner. That's the only way we can get saved, is to realize that we are sinners. God, save me, a sinner, a wretched man that I am. So if people want to say that it's loving, a reframing of love to where there's a love without truth, that's not love. Love is truth, and truth is love. In 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, it says that love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It's not loving to tell someone that their sin that will lead them to hell is okay, and they don't have to repent. And the truth is, many churches have embraced the sinful ideology of the LGBTQ community, in that they affirm and say their sin is acceptable to God. And that is a lie from hell. It is not. John chapter 3 tells us the venom, the evil, that light exposing people. And then it says in verse 21, but he who does the truth, I want you to notice that and underline that word does. It's not just knowing truth in your head. It's living it out. When one does the truth, they come to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. So we need to love people enough to tell them the truth. We need to love people more than we're concerned about people not liking us. We need to love them with our convictions in the truth. And let me just say, this is very important. The truth is so powerful, so exposing, so freeing. Think about darkness and then light comes in, just the change that happens. That's why it's so important that we speak the truth in what? In love. That's why it's important that we have tender hearts, caring hearts, because the love or the word, the truth, is so powerful that when we bring it with a heart of love and compassion, it has the ability to see that people, they will understand that we really care about them. The love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, it says if we do anything in the name of God, but don't do it with love, we're like clanging cymbals. We don't want to be like that. Check your heart. When you're sharing the truth with people, is your heart broken? Is your heart broken for them? That's Jesus' heart. He looked on those who were sheep without a shepherd, and he was broken, and he wept and he mourned. A broken heart is so important as we speak the truth. I think we might have time for one more scripture. Matthew 10. Matthew 10:34. Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." What did Jesus mean? Obviously, he was not talking about a physical, literal sword. He told us to turn the other cheek. What he was talking about was the truth. And here's the reality. Jesus is saying when he came with the truth. And look what happened to him. He came to bring the truth that set people free. And to people, it was so powerful. Verse 35. "For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household." That's radical. And what is Jesus talking about? He's talking about those you care about very much who hate you because of your faith in Jesus Christ. And it may be your family. A lot of times it affects the family like that because the truth, and there's a temptation to compromise. There's a temptation to say, okay, I'm going to back off of the truth. So you'll like me. You'll be a little more comfortable at Thanksgiving and Christmas. It won't be as awkward. That's coming up, isn't it, pretty soon? Verse 37. "For he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will save it." And so this is the time in the world where we can easily be tempted to take the easy path And I want you to know the greatest form of love is truth. If the world, if our friends, if our loved ones have a chance at eternal life, it's important that we stay the course and don't compromise. As Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It's a terrible time in our country. It's a terrible time in the world. But it just tells us that things are shaping up exactly like the Lord said. So we should be watching and praying and looking for the blessed hope. Because the darker it gets, the brighter the truth shines. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they would see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I'm glad for this church body that we can go through these times together. We can look at His Word together. We can comfort one another. I'm thankful this is what the body of Christ is to be in the last days, as a place of refuge, truth, and sanctuary. And I would encourage you to keep reaching out to one another, keep praying for one another, keep asking one another how you're doing. And let us be a church that no matter what the cost, that we stand on the truth. Charlie Kirk did. And may we look at that and say, Lord, your will be done. Let's pray. But Father, we thank you for this morning, and I thank you for your word to help us navigate through these times that we're living in, and just the knowledge of the times that we're living in and the witness of the times we're living in is just can be something, Lord, that could be very discouraging and depressing. But at the same time, Lord, as we've seen today, you've told us exactly that these are things to be expected. And so I pray that we just sort of check our allegiances to the world and our attachments to the world and make sure, Lord, we're feeding off you, the true bread that comes from heaven, God. And so bless our fellowship, and may we always stick to the word, stay to the word, proclaim your word. And I know that our church, Lord willing, will be built on your word, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's all stand, and we are going to worship the Lord in song with one more song before we leave. If anyone here would like prayer, we're going to have our prayer team up front. Just come on up as we sing this last song, and they'll be happy to pray with you. God bless you. I love you guys, and I'm excited to see what the Lord's going to do. Amen.